Hello, Tony. Yes, happy new year to you. Gosh, it's 25. Ugh.
14 days in as well, a fortnight
Oh.
in, and where do we go? Oh dear,
Should
oh
we
dear.
still be saying happy new year? I
Oh, of
don't know.
course,
All right
absolutely.
then.
There's
There you go.
nothing quite like it to be quite nice and kind, is there really?
Not really.
And one of the new, I suppose, lots of people have New Year's resolutions, and I would guess that people with animals are probably going to say, "My New Year's resolution: I need to get the dog to the dog school."
Yes.
There's an issue. Finding a dog trainer that suits your needs and suits your dog. I mean, there are many different techniques, aren't there?
An awful lot of different techniques, and also I think it starts first and foremost with the type of dog you get and that you want, because we do see an awful lot of people have working types, and you've got to look at the DNA within your dog, because some dogs are easier to train than others. Some dogs, once they're trained, you've got to be on it every day for the rest of their life. Have you got the capacity to do that? So yes, first and foremost, I would always say look at the breed you've got. And I know there's an awful lot of mixed breeds out there, so you could be looking at quite a few breeds when you look at one dog. And just know what you want as an end product from your dog. What's your relationship going to be,
Yeah, I mean,
etc.
part of that is really a discussion about getting the right dog in the first place, or knowing what you are getting, because I'm guessing some people actually look at the aesthetics of a dog and go, "Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I like that. We'll get that," not realizing the work that might be involved in that particular breed of dog, and then it comes as a bit of a shock. And when you start talking about the people with getting the bigger dogs and the working dogs, it's an interesting conversation because for many people, those sorts of dogs really. I'm guessing you would advise only those that have had dogs before to actually get involved with, wouldn't you?
Well, again, I mean, it's not just the big breeds. You've got the Dachshunds. I mean, they, in the wrong hands, they can be a blooming nightmare. And some of the Tibetan Spaniels, so because they're a little alert dogs. So it's about, yes, look at the type of dog you want. Don't always go for, isn't it pretty? There are also scurrilous people abroad that are breeding lookalikey dogs. So I know the fashion was, it probably still is for cockapoos and such, but there's dogs coming in for abroad that look incredibly like cockapoos, but haven't got an inch of cockapoo in them, but are also much more herding, guarding breed types from abroad. But because they look curly and soft and curly and a certain size, people think, oh, that's it. And then people are struggling because they think, well, hang on, why is my dog so guardy? Why is it rounding everything up? And they realise that if you did the DNA, you've got this dog from abroad and it hasn't got anything of the traits that you were hoping for in it. It just looks a bit like it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's something that affects various different walks of life, and the joys of new technology that offers so much and that can be so well unhelpful, I think, at times. And with those sorts of things, I'm guessing there's a degree of technology in them. But that said, having said all of that, you've got your new dog, and you want to get your dog off to a training school. You want to get your dog some sound training and in the basics and all the rest of it. How do you know which way to go with which sort of method of training should you go?
I know it's incredibly difficult because there's so much out there, as you said now, and you only have to look at, I don't tend to look at these, but I believe there's an awful lot on TikTok. I don't even know how to access TikTok, but those sorts of things whereby people, and we're seeing actually when the word on the street from the rescue centres is people see something on TikTok that looks fun or funny or whatever, and then they think, oh, well, I'll go and get one of those dogs because obviously they can do that and that's funny. And so therefore that would be great for me. But what they don't realise is somebody's probably trained that to do that. And then, so the trouble is there's an awful lot out there. You've got to be, I would personally not go down the online stuff too much because there's nothing better than going to a class. If you want to go to a class, have a look at, maybe talk to the local vets, see what they recommend, what's out there. Again, they're a bit stuck, as in they can't necessarily have great favourites. I mean, they probably have, if any of their staff have been to training.
Yeah, but there are some methods that are better than others. I mean, as you well know, I mean, you're a great exponent of, and not using treats, I would say, but more encouragement, I would think.
Yes,
I mean, describe it, but there are others that they're much more hands-on things, methods of training, which can be rather shocking to the owner and rather distressing to the dog. But there are some really good methods, clickers, treats, and other methods that just involve talking to your dog.
Yes, I mean, the trick is, start with a young pup, or if you've got a rescue dog, start soon. Put some ground rules in, know what you want. Don't be too soft on your dog because you feel sorry for it, or be too soft on it because it's a puppy. But within that, yes, there's different types. Obviously, there's treat training. We tend not to use those and don't really recommend those, purely because I'm old school in so much as we never used to. And it strikes me as something else to just go wrong. We've got some people in class at the moment who have done a bit of treat training already. And by not using treats, the dog's just looking blankly at them as if to say, well, nothing in it for me, I'm not going to do it. And interestingly enough, one of our trainers who's got a rescue dog who's been mercilessly treat trained, she's had him 6 months, 7 months now, and she stopped it instantly. But there was a certain hand movement that somebody did in class today that obviously replicated something you do with treats. And I looked, and her dog's drooling all over the place. And it is very interesting how they get so conditioned. So, as I said, we don't use treats purely because it starts this conditioning process where too much store is set by the treat. And even if you did treat training, the whole point of treat training is you then stop doing treat training.
I was going to say, my understanding of this was that, yeah, you do. I mean, there are certain things that, I mean, we're having trouble with Archie at the moment with one particular thing. With most of your stuff, your methods are working perfectly. But down has been a problem. It's been a serious problem. Getting him to actually lay straight down has been an issue. Unless there's been a treat at the end of it. Now, yeah, I get that you're going to have to do that occasionally, but then you do withdraw the treat because he doesn't get treats for everything else that he does. So why should he get them for that? So once he's got into it, which gradually he is, there's no need for the treats.
No, and also every time you see him lie down naturally, reinforce it by saying lie down or down.
Yeah.
And as I say, that you could have used a ball or a toy for something like that and take it away. Similar today with a down command, one of the dogs who's been with us a bit of a while couldn't do it. Had no idea what I was talking about when I said down. And the owner said, well, I do this, and bent down and swished the floor. And I said, well, my back's hurting. I can't possibly do that now. I said, I've been standing upright all day. It's gone.
Yeah.
And I said, I have no intention of doing that because I want to stand upright and look you in the eye and then just tell the dog to lie down. So after a couple of minutes, the dog realised that, oh, you mean you want me to lie down? There's no swishing of the floor. But it is about... you know, it's a mixture of things. And there are times, you know, you have to look at the individual dog. So if you've got a very, very nervy little rescue dog, maybe there are times that when you want it to accept a stranger, maybe there's a time when the stranger has got a little bit of cheese or something in their hand and the dog will come over and you can, you know, give it to the dog.
Yeah.
In a way, that to me is slightly tricky as well, because you're sort of buying the dog rather than just letting the dog find its own way to you. So also there's other methods, as you say, there's clicker, and then that's clicker and treat. So then you're adding even more then to take away.
Yeah, I know with clicker training, though, the idea was that you can use the clicker, and when the dog hears the sound, they respond to that.
Yes, but that's initially...
There's no food involved.
Well, initially there is food,
yeah,
because it's click treat, click. So it's building on that, and then you take the food away, and then on top of that, as you say, there are some some very tricky methods that we've seen, funny enough, a couple of times on the out for walking recently. We saw a really nice dog that was quite well behaved and an attractive, it was a youngster, it was 6 months.
Yeah.
It was a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
These people had bred it. And very nice looking dog, nice bones. And yeah. I thought it was being very well behaved, just standing there. Then as they went to move off, I'm always quite interested in what the dog's sort of wearing, not as in what outfits, but,
yeah.
you know, whether what collar, leads, etc. And as it moved off, I thought, oh, golly, it's got a pinch collar on it. And I was Ooh. Appalled at that point. Now, a pinch collar is a metal collar.
Oh, with, I know.
As you pull it tight, it has barbs of wire going into the dog's neck.
I thought they'd been banned.
Well, exactly. They're banned in Wales. I don't know if they're banned
over here.
They ought
to be.
They should be.
Yeah.
And I thought, these people, they have bred this dog and they've actually, and they told us they've been breeding these particular dogs for 30 years and most of them go off to do great works in the military, etc. And I was shocked. And I thought, and then I looked a couple of times. I thought, no, it's definitely a pinch collar. And we're also seeing more and more of people are calling them e-collars, which to make it sound a bit sort of environmentally friendly and a bit soft, but it's still ultimately an electric collar. It gives a buzz or and stuff like that. And you think, why? Because
I'm going to say that you're highlighting here the difference in some of the training methods, and I know the methods that you use actually rely on the intelligence of the dog rather than anything else. I mean, and they do get confused, but, you know, looking at the intelligence of the dogs takes me on to a piece that I spoke about on the programme yesterday, which is to do with Harvey the Border Collie.
Mm.
He's able to recognise apparently more than 200 words.
Amazing, isn't it?
I just found this incredible. He's a 6-year-old and he's been described as Britain's brightest dog. 203 dog toys and fetches. And he fetches the correct one every time, apparently, including things like llama. I don't know, he brings a llama back, unless it's a toy one. asparagus, mermaids, and apparently a tumble bumper.
Now, if you, again, it's interesting, if you say all those words over again out loud or in your head, they're all very different words. It's very clever, and it's just, it's association between the word and the, you know, the toy, whatever it is. So it's working hard with the dog. Being a border collie, it's probably from a strong working line, so it needs to work, and you're replacing sheep with fluffy toys.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to do that sort of stuff with your dog. Not every dog would be able to do that. You generally see border collies that have that ability.
Recognised as being highly intelligent anyway, aren't they?
Well, they also like the repetition of that, and they understand stuff because they're quite easy to train if you make it. You make it obviously interesting for them, but don't make it too complicated. They like patterns. They're a dog that likes a pattern. As in with the German Shepherds, they like patterns. We had a collie at class, and it knew 18 different toys. And when I went to see the owner, I thought, oh, God, I'm going to be here all evening. And she was sitting there rabbiting off all these different things. This dog would go miles away, go and get it, bring it back. And it was happy because it was going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. So they love that. As I say, it's the routine and the pattern of it. And good on the owners for that. I mean, there comes a time that when you're not doing that, what is the dog then doing? Is it just pacing up and down?
Yeah.
Or can it learn to settle well? But again, it's just knowing what your dog's capable. I mean, they're all more capable of doing stuff than we actually give them credit for, these guys, all of the dogs.
They're very, very, very clever, some of them. And it's testimony sometimes when you see them in class as to quite what you can get them to do. And the strange thing is that if you replicate what you've learned in training outside on a walk, they tend to do it much better out on a walk than they will in class because they don't have quite the same distractions.
No, they don't. And also you're more relaxed because whilst there's some people that love class, but generally speaking, some, you know, the owners, was a girl today said, she was quite stressed doing something, and I said, well, I get that, but you know, the dog's done it and you've done a great job with it. So I think out on a walk is your own time and you're enjoying it. I spent the other day with my girl, didn't say one word to her from start to end.
That wouldn't and, by chance be Rita, would it?
Yeah. And and I didn't, I made her find me. I didn't call her. I just kept hiding.
Yeah.
And to start with, you could hear her taking a little while because she thought, well, I'll go and do something while Wendy's doing whatever she's doing. But then you could see her think, oh, no, actually, this is quite good fun. And she was getting quicker and quicker at finding me.
Yeah.
So they love stuff like that.
Yeah.
They like using their brain. We don't really give them enough to do. But having said that, again, a lot of people just want a dog as a companion within the household and just to go on a lazy walk with, which sadly is not enough for an awful lot of dogs. And that's why awful lot of dogs in rescue and inappropriate dogs in homes where perhaps they shouldn't be and they're struggling with.
Well, I guess you've just highlighted the importance of when you do get a dog, get it trained and do it fairly early on and find a kind method that stimulates the dog and they actually respond to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not every class is for everybody, and I appreciate that. Mm. So you've got to find a class that you like the idea of it. Ours is very simple in so much it's just praise based, so it's called positive reinforcement. So we show the dog what we want and then we praise them. And it's all about getting the dogs as relaxed as you can, let them, you know, there's certain things that they have to work it out themselves, but find something that works for you. That there's probably no completely right way or wrong way. It's how you get your head round it.
Yeah.
There's fours and against. I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, the harsh methods, there's no need for prong collars, shock collars, pinch collars. There's no need for any. And I personally think if you've gone down that track, you best give your dog away because you're not the sort of person that should have anything. One of my little guys, a dog had one of these collars on, the shock collars, and he came over and touched one of my dogs. And at the moment he touched one of my dogs, the owner pressed the button and the shock went down his dog but missed his dog and hit my dog, and my dog absolutely screamed. And you think, so you've just shocked my dog now. And that's how shocks work. They just go to the last thing at the end of it. So if a child went and touched a dog that was in the middle of a shot, you'd shock a child. I mean, I say child because everybody likes the child card, but I mean, it was my poor little fella. He screamed, and then we challenged the owner. But anyway,
so the advice really would be then to anybody with a dog thinking about going to get some training, find as many different training schools as you can. Talk to people that have got dogs and see what they did, and sort of just discover a little bit about the trainers and see the methods they use. If they're using cruel methods, give them a wide berth.
Exactly.
And the rest of it is up to the individual as to what sort of training they want.
Actually, and also, you know, if you've got a Labrador and you see somebody with a Labrador, ask them. But if you've got a Border Collie and then you see somebody with an Afghan, maybe you know, ask a Border Collie owner rather than an Afghan. That sort of, you know, perhaps ask somebody that's got the same type of dog that you've got as to what they do. And there's loads of other things you can do. Lots of things are popular now, like scent work and so on and so forth. But again, if you're doing stuff with your dog, remember, if you're unlocking stuff that is in its distant DNA, once you've unlocked it, you can't put it back in the box. So if you wake up something that you think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. So I think hard before you go off piste and do some random training.
Yeah. It can be very rewarding if you've got a new dog. To get involved with the training of your dog is unbelievably rewarding. I can actually vouch for that. But sadly, Wendy, we've run out of time. We've now sorted out sort of roughly the dog training. So we'll return. Hopefully, you'll return in a month's time, and we can take it all a stage further.
Good. That'd be good. Thank you.
For now, Wendy Claxton, thank you.